It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll meet Milwaukee's 2016 Artists of the Year, a visual artist and a poet and novelist.
First, today, the U.S. Supreme Court announced their decision to overturn a Texas abortion law passed in 2013. The law required abortion providers to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles. In a 5-3 decision, justices ruled that the Texas law created an unconstitutional burden on women seeking an abortion.
The decision sets a national precedent that could limit how far states can go in restricting abortion rights. Experts say it's a win for abortion rights advocates. Supporters, though, of the overturned law say its purpose was to protect women and make abortion safer. The Republican Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, said the Supreme Court's decision was, quote, a devastating blow to the protection of the health and safety of women in Texas.
Emily Martin joins us now to talk more about this case and how it could affect abortion rights throughout the country. She's General Counsel and Vice President for Workplace Justice at the National Women's Law Center, which opposed the Texas law. Emily, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So I want to start with a quick review of that Texas law in question, HB 2. What parts of the law specifically were being challenged?
So there were two key parts that the Supreme Court was considering. One part of the law required doctors performing abortions in clinics in Texas to have admitting privileges at a hospital less than 30 miles away from the clinic. The other key part of the Texas law required all abortion clinics to meet the facility standards, the construction standards that are applicable to ambulatory surgical centers in Texas. So in other words, to really have pretty advanced technology available, things like really broad hallways so stretchers could go past each other. And those things might on their face sound reasonable, but there were lots of reasons why these provisions didn't really do anything to make abortion safer in Texas, and that's exactly what the Supreme Court found today. And I'm happy to chat about that a little more.
Well, what would you say that the two sides had to say? You gave a little bit of what your group has said about the law. I understand that we heard the Texas governor saying that the law was in place to make abortion safer for women, to protect women and families. What do you say to that?
What I say to that is what the law did and what the law was absolutely intended and expected to do was shut down clinics around the state of Texas. More than half of clinics in Texas have closed since HB 2 passed, and another chunk of those were expected to close if the Supreme Court upheld HB 2, which meant in lots of places in Texas, women were hundreds of miles away from an abortion provider, which meant that women were seeking abortions later in pregnancy because there were longer wait times, because they had to take extra time to save money to travel hundreds of miles and get a hotel room overnight because of other restrictions that Texas puts on abortion, which means that it's a multi-day procedure where you get counseled the first day, have to come back the next day for the procedure. So all of those things meant that women were less able to access abortions, and when they were accessing them, it was often later in their pregnancy, which makes abortion more complicated. So for those reasons, it really was harming women's health in critical ways.
So where did this law stand before this decision came down today?
So where the law stood before this is that parts of it had been stayed. There were parts of the law that had not gone into effect yet, and that's why if the Supreme Court had not struck down these provisions, we would have expected to see more clinics close. However, parts of the law had already gone into effect, and that's why we'd already seen a lot of clinics close. So, for example, the admitting privileges piece had led to a lot of clinics closing, because if you work in an abortion clinic, you very rarely have to transfer anyone to a hospital precisely because abortion is so safe. It's safer than colonoscopies. It's safer than liposuction. It's safer than getting your wisdom teeth removed. And many hospitals won't allow you to have admitting privileges unless you admit a certain number of patients a year. So ironically, the very safety of abortion was preventing doctors from meeting the requirements set out in HB 2. And so when the admitting privileges rule went into effect, clinics around the state closed.
Now, this decision was being hailed, even before the decision broke, as a sort of a referendum on the way Roe v. Wade would be understood going forward. So what do you think, given the decision, what do you think we now know about that question?
What we know because of this decision is that there continue to be strong constitutional protections for women who are seeking abortion, and that's critically important. We know that the Supreme Court and thus the lower courts will not accept a assertion that a particular restriction forwards women's health if there isn't any actual evidence showing that this restriction forwards women's health. We know that courts are not going to close their eyes to the actual impact of abortion laws when it harms women, when it puts women at greater risk, just because the proponents of those laws claim this is really in women's best interest. And that is a very important victory.
We're talking with Emily Martin right now, General Counsel and Vice President for Workplace Justice at the National Women's Law Center. That group opposed the Texas law, which was overturned today. And Emily, can you walk us through how the votes came down on the court today? Any surprises?
Sure. So it was a 5-3 decision. Justice Breyer wrote the majority decision and was joined by Justice Ginsburg, Justice Sotomayor, Justice Kagan, and Justice Kennedy. Now, Justice Kennedy was widely thought to be the swing vote in this case, and definitely all eyes were on him in the lead-up to the case, in the oral argument, where it was hard to tell exactly where he was going to come down. Some of the questions he asked in oral argument, in retrospect, I think, give some guidance to what his thinking was, what led him to join the majority here. Some of the questions that he asked in oral argument really pushed on this idea that what the evidence showed was that by imposing these requirements, which led to clinic closures around the state, women were less able to get early abortions. They were less able to get medication abortions, abortions that you can have because of a pill without any sort of surgical procedure at all. And Justice Kennedy, I think, was rightly concerned that that was a really perverse result of a bunch of laws that were supposed to be protecting women's health.
Now, you mentioned the clinics that had closed in the wake of this law being enacted, portions of it. Will those same clinics open, do you think, in quick order, or what has to happen if that's the case?
So I do believe that either many of those clinics will reopen or other clinics will open in underserved areas. There are providers in Texas who are really committed to women's health, to ensuring that women in Texas have the full range of reproductive health care options. Now, I am sure that there will be some bumps in the road, that the Supreme Court unfortunately can't wave a magic wand and turn back the clock, that these clinics will face some barriers in trying to get back on their feet. But I think that we will see women's reproductive health care coming back to Texas and back to these underserved areas.
Now, here in Wisconsin, we have a law similar to HB 2, which would require doctors who perform abortions to have hospital admitting privileges. And that law was struck down by the courts, but most recently a federal appeals court. So is the whole women's health decision any indication of what the future of Wisconsin's law might hold in other states that have similar laws?
Yeah, I think that the whole women's health decision is a pretty clear message that Wisconsin's law is unconstitutional, that I would expect that the Supreme Court would not take up that law, which, as you say, was struck down last year as an unconstitutional restriction on women's right to access reproductive health care. And I think more broadly, the decision today is a message to politicians in states around the country that there are real restrictions on their ability to target abortion providers with these unnecessary provisions that have the effect of closing down clinics, of driving abortion providers out of states, and that the courts are going to continue to take a hard look at those provisions and really require some evidence that they are protecting women's health, that they are promoting good medicine, which in the great majority of instances they simply aren't.
Emily, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Emily Martin, General Counsel and Vice President for Workplace Justice at the National Women's Law Center. That group opposed the Texas law that was just overturned today.